Second.
Any discussion? Who was the second?
Foster, Jim.
Okay, thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. Any public comments? Hearing none. President comments? I think things are going well with the vaccine clinic. I was there last week, Wednesday, and I'll be there this week. Looking for any help you can on it. But it's an awesome show. Corporate Council, do you have any report?
Jen, I don't know if you want to talk about the term issue now or later. I know I did talk to Jen Freiheit about the 10-year limitation in the past couple of weeks. And I know we discussed the resolution of that, so I'll leave it to Jen unless she wants me to comment back. Other than that, I don't have anything, and I would just say my compliments to the health department and the clinic at the old Shopko. I was there, and I'm coming back this week, and I really appreciate that. Thank you.
So yeah, John, let's do talk about that so we can come to resolution. As I recall, last meeting, it was the issue how our new bylaws talked about specific term limits, and that we have several members that are well beyond what we have now specified as new term limits. And how we discussed, we certainly don't want to lose the history and knowledge base that has existed in the board, but we also want to provide space for new members as well too. So I think, and help me, John, here, that the decision was that if we give the members who have been beyond, I don't know how we want to state that, the term limit, that so that we don't lose them all at once, maybe we retire one per year for each of the next years, if I remember correctly.
Right. I think the idea, obviously, behind these bylaws, and it's always been the case, is to stagger membership, to have continuity in terms of, you know, not having a lot of people leaving at one time or coming on at one time. So I think if we're going to do something where longtime members are going to step back, we should do it year to year instead of, you know, two or three at one time, because I know some of the people here have been on for many, many years. And I know Mark mentioned it, and Dr. Foster, for sure. So I don't know in what order we want to do that, but yes, we could have the members that now have gone beyond 10 years indicate if and pick an order, I guess, on how we're going to have them step back and maintain the other members and do the staggered approach that our bylaws require of us going forward.
Can we get a list of when each person started?
Yes, I will have Karen get that list. And the goal was not to do this immediately. I think we were thinking, because we do have a couple of new members, which Mr. Perez is on. Yay, I'm so excited. We'll introduce you in just a minute. And Charmaine being a newer member, and we wanted to do some orientation. So when would we want to start making this effective? I certainly don't think immediate is called for, but what do you all think?
I like the phasing one person out a year is good.
Personally, I think phasing out here is good. But the other thing to remember is that we've got, like, how do you then want to handle, like, I believe Dr. Foster's, John O'Day is the representative from the county board, and then I'm the city. You know, how are we going to do that? Does that mean that the county board has to find a new person every X number of years? Does the city, I don't care. I just, you know, again, we just need to kind of make everybody, all of the players, aware of what will happen.
And add to that, if you had another person that was similar, say it was a county member, whatever, or in my case, if it's a physician, that expresses an interest, because it is a commitment, maybe scheduling more than everything else, but then maybe you could work with that. For example, if, you know, a doctor that you folks were interested in, and I know it's not Jen's decision, it's the county executives, but if a doctor was really interested, and I've been there a long time, maybe you don't have to wait for the year. And I'll just sort of float that out as an option. But I also don't want to abandon, I don't think anyone want to just sort of jump ship on the county.
So
I'll consider ad hoc, and I know I'm well over 10 years. So, you know, like a position like mine might be an easier, because you can kind of have anybody fill it. It doesn't have to be a certain profession. Whereas I think Dr. Foster's is, our county's board, like John's probably is, Mark's, I'm not sure. I agree with the fact that, you know, if we phase out one person a year, it might be based on, instead of like doing who's been on the longest, maybe just who's the best position to fill.
Well, and so just so you know, the state statute only requires, actually it doesn't require anything. It says to use the best faith effort to get one physician and one nurse. So it's not even a requirement, but use a best faith effort to get at least one doc, one nurse. In our bylaws, we did also say that we would always try to have one county board and one city representative. So how about we have Karen pull the data? She also has all the attendance data. And we'll put forth a recommendation for next time on how to proceed in an order, and we'll present that to you next time, if that makes sense.
Okay. And with that data, maybe what seat they're holding, like an at-large versus a nurse versus county, city, or whatever they represent.
Sure.
And this is Rita again, and I do know that when I was on the board, when I had started, Linda Weiss was also on the board, so she was actually the nurse position. So my position may have transitioned to that, and I'm not aware of it. And the other thing I think just to mention, as I do recall, Diane and Jim, you might recall this too, but when we had our accreditation stuff a few years back, they did think we had a pretty heavy medical board and not quite enough other community type members. But we had two NPs, two docs, a vet, a dentist. So just something else to think about.
Right. Yeah, and that was a big concern of mine when I first came in, hence the bylaws being modernized so that, yes, we could have many more community members, not such the medical model, which public health is not a medical model. So, you know, to get us focused more on equity, social determinants of health, and population and community health, which is what the health department does. So, yeah, I agree.
So also with officers, are we starting that like January 1? Because we have term limits on those.
Yes, that was to start this January 1.
Right.
So I think we're fine for now. So we'll just make sure that the clock started January 1, according to our bylaws on that.
And then we get somebody kind of in the works that wants to take over for the next term.
Correct. Yeah, and that was also my goal, is to have a much better onboarding orientation for new Board of Health members. Of course, COVID is killing me from doing that right now, but but we will do that hopefully by this summer to really do an orientation to what the Board of Health needs. All right, so John, you and I and Karen, with her data, we can go back to the drawing table and just put pen to paper. Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely. You just let me know when you need to meet, and we'll do that.
Sounds good. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
All right, on to health officer report.
All right, so let's get COVID out of the way first. And I'll get the most pressing information of the morning out of the way as well too. So we had a big kick in the gut this morning with the CDC and FDA submitting a joint statement to put a pause on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. It, six people out of 7 million, while certainly not diminishing the loss of life or the critical condition that one of those people are in, is terrible, but there are always side effects with any drug or any, you know, even, you know, Advil or Tylenol or whatnot, right? So there's always somebody who's going to have an adverse effect. I appreciate that they're pausing in order to make sure that these vaccines are safe for everyone. And they're investigating, they're meeting tomorrow to investigate, to determine is there a common thread or a common link. I can foresee that something will come down that will add to our consent form, just as we have asked about PEG allergies or anaphylaxis and those other things, that we will have an additional line to make sure that there will be certain people that won't necessarily be advised to get the Johnson & Johnson. But this is where we still want to assure the public that this is happening out of an overabundance of caution. This is not utilizing human beings as guinea pigs. This is, it's still a very safe vaccine. And quite honestly, and I don't even know, Dr. Gerlach or Dr. Foster, if you want to talk about how, you know, the blood clotting and the typical use of heparin and how this just being as rare and dangerous as it is, it just has to be handled, these type of blood clots in a different way. So it largely will fall on healthcare providers to be able to determine and for anybody that has these adverse reactions to be taken care of more appropriately. So my bottom line from a public health standpoint is that these vaccines are still very safe. They are life-saving. There's certainly a higher risk of getting COVID and getting hospitalized or even dying from COVID than from these vaccines. And so, so we wanna make sure, you know, we're sitting on this life-saving medicine. We're taking a pause right now on the Johnson & Johnson. And that we want to get back to getting them in arms as soon as possible. We make sure all of our clinics are very safe. We have a crash cart. We have a whole response team. We have our agreement with the Kenosha Fire Department to handle things very swiftly if anything were to happen. We have not had a need for that yet. The cots that we have sort of in the back have been for people who just felt a little lightheaded or woozy or were anxious. So that has been the worst that we have had in Kenosha here. But I just want to assure the public that, you know, vaccines are safe and we'll get back at it. Just we want to, you know, overabundance of caution to make sure that this is extremely safe for everyone. So from the medical standpoint, do any of you have any comments on that?
I don't usually deal with a whole lot of blood clots in kids, and I haven't had a ton on it, so.
Yeah, and I also haven't really had time to look at what they're doing with that, and so.
And I did talk with Nick Galich from Frederick South this morning, who assured me that they have reached out to every single one of their providers, and they are all on top of this, and that they will be screening more for that, so not just doing the typical heparin protocol when blood clots come in. So so we can be assured as well in you know, Kenosha County that our providers are now aware of this and that we will be handling if anything happens much better and appropriately. So that's where we sit with the Johnson & Johnson.
Jen, while this is on pause, do you have adequate supply of Moderna and Pfizer?
Nope. So that was part of the rest of my COVID report, is that we have really been cut back this week, last week, this week, and next week. So for example, we have clinics on Wednesday and Friday this week that are largely only going to be second doses because we barely got any first doses this week. I know some of our other providers, such as Frederick South in the community, were able to switch to Pfizer. I've heard other health departments around the state, you know, switching their clinics from Johnson & Johnson to Pfizer or Moderna. We don't have a huge luxury of doing that right now. So our clinics on Wednesday and Friday at Shopko will be much, much smaller. In fact, they'll be cut in half because they'll be only second doses. We don't have the first doses to really give. So they will be smaller clinics with decreased staffing because of that. We had planned this week to have Johnson & Johnson. We've been doing every Tuesday night at Grace Lutheran Church, the Grace Welcome Center. And we had anywhere from 200 to 300 people on Tuesday nights there that we had to put on pause tonight. We were also going to do 75 homebound residents this week. We were finally able to start really chunking down that list of the homebound residents that have been waiting for a home visit to get their vaccine. And so we had to put a pause on that because we had Johnson & Johnson for that. And then of course we had some Johnson & Johnson we were going to integrate into our broader clinics. And so that has all sort of put a pause on those sorts of things. Fingers crossed that we get more vaccine next week and we'll be able to maintain the clinics that we were hoping to have next week, but we won't know about that until the end of this week. So just for a rest of a COVID report, we have a clinic this Saturday scheduled at Westosha Central High School in the gymnasium. We are still pretty sure we'll be able to get enough vaccine to have that clinic. We're just moving some deck chairs. Next week, we had scheduled a clinic at Westosha Central for the 1,300 16 and 17 year olds between the two high schools out there, Wilmot and Central. That was a very targeted clinic because we had Pfizer, and the Pfizer can be given to 16 and 17 year olds with a guardian presenting with them, and to really be able to target that population, given all of their activities and the spread within that population. We were going to also offer some more evening and Saturday hours next week, 1 to 7 on the 23rd, 9 to 3 on Saturday the 24th, and 1 to 7 on April 28th. So those are our tentative plans right now to have those clinics. And again, it all depends on the vaccine that arrives in the Johnson & Johnson unpause that will hopefully come. And of course we have many, many mobile missions. We've been doing different churches. We've had requests from churches, Boys and Girls Club, different workplaces. We are going down our outbreak list of all employers that have had outbreaks over the past year. And then those with more vulnerable populations working for them. And that was also a use of our Johnson & Johnson, was be able to get to these workplaces that where their employees would find it difficult to get back for a second dose for a variety of reasons. And so that's a bit on pause right now too, but we're definitely doing both the mass clinics at Shopko or Central, as well as mobile strike team, mobile vaccination clinics, where we're really out on the road. We have a request process with a form that allows people to sort of ask us like, hey, next Tuesday, could you come to 100 of my parishioners, you know, for 2 hours or whatever. We've been to the outreach center. We've been to several grocery stores and butcher shops in the Hispanic neighborhoods. We've been, like I said, to churches. So we're really trying to be mobile and get out there because I am seeing, and so are many of our other vaccinators, that appointments are not getting filled up. We have now reached 40% of our eligible population in Kenosha County. So, you know, all of those 16 and older, 40% have gotten at least one dose. So we have definitely reached the people who are very eager to get vaccinated, who believe in science. And we have now moved sort of into that next 30% of people who are more vaccine hesitant, you know, have reservations, need more education. So it's becoming an issue that appointments just aren't, the demand is lower, the appointments just aren't filling up. So we are definitely having to do more education and more getting out there, as opposed to just the pull method of expecting, you know, pulling people into Shopko is becoming more and more difficult. So I think the long-term plan for our mass vaccination clinics is that they will probably go away much quicker than we were expecting, because then we'll just be completely mobile out in the community doing this, you know, 30 doses over here at this grocery store and 50 doses over here at this workplace, and we'll just be getting into the community much better that way. Right now we're burning the candle at both ends doing both kinds of missions. So that's what's been happening as far as vaccination. Our call center is still handling a good 400 calls a day, educating people. That's been going really great. Our Kickstart plan, we had the Kickstart plan last May, and that plan is still a very viable and valid plan. The only pieces of that are not are the first couple pages where we tied to Badger Bounce Back. And, you know, the Badger Bounce Back, if you recall, was a red, yellow, green light sort of system where we never got out of the red until about 2 months ago. So the gating criteria that was set in the Badger Bounce Back just was never allowing us to come to fruition. But the rest of that Kickstart plan is still completely valid. We have many restaurants and establishments still following it. We, in the Kickstart plan last year, did not have a component for events or big, large gatherings because they simply just weren't happening last year. So we added a Kickstart addendum that deals only with events of people that are, you know, larger crowds of people. While that is not the safest thing, we put in there 9 pages of guidelines to make events safer. So if that's weddings from 100 people to, you know, Country Thunder or Bristol Renaissance Fair, we are working with these entities to make sure their events are safer. We are asking that event organizers share with us their plans. For example, last year, Kingfish shared with us a very detailed plans on which seats are open, which are not open, and, you know, how they're going to do concessions and all of that sort of thing. It becomes not a licensing or citation thing. It becomes really an education. They submit their plans to the health department. We review them, give them a thumbs up, help them with education. Hey, did you think about a separate ingress and egress? Or you could do this over here. Or make sure you have enough sanitizer or whatever. It becomes just more of a really good communication education tool for these event organizers. So while there is no requirement, we are certainly hopeful that most event organizers will submit their plans to us and have that good dialogue with us so that we can ensure that the Kenosha County community is safer. Cases. So testing is still pretty down. Our cases are starting to tick up a little bit. And we are certainly seeing many, many more cases in the 40 and under set. We have many more children that are positive that we have not seen since the end of last year. So the virus is certainly not finding a host in the 65 plus population because we have now reached some level of herd immunity in Kenosha County with our 65 plus population. So it's finding other hosts to live in. Unfortunately, we're even seeing hospitalizations now with some younger, you know, in between 20s and 30s going to the hospital for COVID. So that is concerning. You know, the virus is just moving to other populations who are not as vaccinated. And that's where we really want to target our vaccine efforts that way. So not ticking up to the point where we're waving the white flag or pressing the alarm bells, but it's certainly going in the wrong direction. We're watching Michigan very closely, Minnesota, you know, a fourth wave is coming. These variants are definitely taking their hold and sticking in kids much more aptly than the original COVID-19 did. So that's where the message is that for school districts to remove mask policies, this is absolutely the worst time to do that. We absolutely still want to highly recommend mask policies, distancing, hand washing, isolating, quarantine if you've been in contact. I mean, as far as public health standards, nothing has changed. I'm very concerned with the data coming out of the state that the British variant is now the predominant variant in the state of Wisconsin and in Kenosha County. The Brazilian variant, right now there are only 4 identified cases in Wisconsin. 2 of them are in Kenosha County. So these variants have me concerned, and we know that they spread much more rapidly and they're attaching to kids more. So I certainly recommend no easing up or relaxing of safety measures and standards. And that's where I sit with COVID. So any questions before I move on to other health department business?
I just have a quick question. Is there anything that we, either at the Board of Health or that you can do or whatever, we're seeing all the articles about principals in at the Paris Elementary School. I've lost track of all the schools, but they're basically just being kind of like, we don't need to wear masks anymore and we're not going to enforce mask mandates and the kids can go without masks. And is there anything we can do about this? I'm getting phone calls from upset people, and you know, all I can say is tell your child to wear a mask, but what can we do?
Yeah, and that's where, you know, as the county health department, we don't have any ordinances or orders in place that provide the teeth to enforce that. So unfortunately, my hands are tied into this high recommendation standpoint, which allows district administrators and people to choose their own rules. I, you know, the best thing I can do from my standpoint is to keep educating and to keep putting out the recommendations that now is absolutely not the time to remove masks. And in fact, it's probably the worst time for kids to remove masks. So I'm open to your suggestions.
I've got no.
Made this recommendation like public. I think, you know, our society in general has such COVID fatigue. And now with so many people being immunized, everyone feels safer. Has there been, I don't read the newspaper all that much, so I apologize, but have you put anything out there locally, just kind of with the things you just summarizing what you just said and why it's still so important we're maintaining, you know, the guidelines that have been put in place for the past year?
I mean, yes, we've certainly put it out there. I've also written memos for the school districts to use. I know there's some board meetings tonight. And DPI is echoing the same. The state health department is echoing the same. The data on the variants is set to come out in a press release from the state health department by the end of this week or early next week. My opinion, which is just a little bit too late, but yeah.
But I mean, do you know what I'm saying as far as yep. You know, the public, is the public getting this information really, you know, how is it being disseminated? Because I think that, again, I think that there's just so much fatigue in the community about it. At least that's what I witnessed. I don't know.
No, there is total fatigue. And I mean, you know, yes, we put out a press release almost every single day. I don't know. That's been our message from the start is how are we reaching people? I mean, we put things on our Facebook page several times a day. We you know, the Kenosha News has things every day. You know, with the Paris situation, I had interviews with 4, 6, 12, and 58. And, you know, so certainly the messages have been out there. Is it reaching people now? I don't know, you know.
Okay.
Are we using targeted ads with those Facebook posts? Are there any dollars allocated to being able to use Facebook advertising to specifically target the information?
No, and that is something to look into. We haven't received our federal dollars for COVID yet. So although I just signed the contract that finally came through just this last week. So hopefully that'll come through soon. And that is something we can certainly use some of those dollars to try to figure that out. Good idea.
Could we do something where, like the notices that have gone out on Facebook have been very helpful and there have been a lot of shares of those. But is there a way that you could do something specifically about children and these new variants? Because I think that a lot of people that I talk to are not, they got it in their head that kids were not, it was not a big deal for children. But if you put something out specifically about the fact that, you know, there are four, you know, Brazilian variants, and in the state of Wisconsin, two are in Kenosha County. You know, UK is now dominant. It goes after children. I mean, being very, very targeted, as we need you to understand that the children are now at risk. I think that, you know, maybe we could do something. And then if we as a board really worked to share those, and you know, utilized some of the systems that we have through the churches, through whatever, maybe we could get the word out in slightly different way. I too do not read the newspaper, but I have a mother who does, and you know, updates me daily on what she sees as the way that things are being presented. And I think that we've got a real issue with how some of the things within the school board or the school districts, plural, are being presented. So I think I'd like to do something where we can be, I know you have had interviews with media, but you know, is there any way that we could, we as a board could do something to help?
Yeah, I think if there was a time, now would be a great time. And so Leanne is on, and so I know she's taking notes feverishly right now. So so I think definitely working with the Joint Information Center and with the Board of Health together to put out those messages. I think the state is putting out the data, and like I said, that'll come at the end of this week. So I think that will give us more of the talking points and the actual data behind that, as opposed to, you know, I always tread lightly. I don't want to put out fear tactics. You know, so to have the actual statewide data, the trouble with the variants is that not every COVID test is sequenced for variants, and the sequencing doesn't come back for 2 to 4 weeks. So when I have found out about sequencing, the person has already been out of isolation for a week. I mean, they're already healthy, back at work, whatever. So knowing the variants at that time, it does no good per se to really know the variants at that time. And if you have a variant, your isolation and quarantine is still the same. Nothing changes about how we treat you, whether you have British or Brazilian or just the standard old COVID-19. I mean, you still have the same requirements for isolation and quarantine. So it doesn't change our protocol. And yeah, some of those talking points will come out from the state this week. So that's something we can work on. Wait for the states, add it into Kenosha counties, and get that out as well too. So we'll
Jen, reach back out working with that. The Kenosha. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
What about working with the Kenosha Area Business Association and with a specific, you know, information, not too much data, but just kind of the guidelines again and why we're, you know, it's so important to continue following them and asking them to disseminate it to their employees. Because again, if you're somebody who doesn't, you know, read the newspaper a lot or whatever, you know, if you're not on the right social media sites and things like that, I mean, that would just be one more avenue for, you know, people to like consider, and the importance of masks in schools and how it's affecting children. And because, you know, a lot of that stuff, again, because everyone's so fatigued, they're not absorbing, you know, they're not, you know, necessarily watching it all the time. And so if it comes through their employer, might be something, just another avenue. I don't know, just a thought.
Yeah, and we've been working with CABA through with our Kickstart addendum launch. And so they will be hosting education sessions, much like we did last year when the first Kickstart came out. So they are keyed in and helping us, at least from the Kickstart standpoint. So yeah, we'll have to.
And Rita, especially with being in a healthcare organization, I think we need to push our administration to make sure that it's that message is being put on our own websites, because we each have the pediatric type websites, and maybe even
absolutely. And you know, children's is very, very strict. I mean, more, you know, their requirements and stuff for employees is actually probably stricter than the CDC. And again, you know, we are reaching out to families, every patient we're seeing. And so I think that, you know, but I think too, if it's just kind of on our general website, that would be helpful. So I'm going to mention that.
Thank you. So for the sake of time, just some other quick updates with the health department. We received an equity grant. It was $100,000 from the state. We're still waiting on the state guidance for how we can spend that. But we had applied for that, and that was really to be able to help target our most vulnerable populations in Kenosha County. So we're very excited that we got that. We have the equity task force that we've been working with since early January on this as well. So now it just allows us to fund some of those efforts that we're doing. In large part, it will be a little bit of the polio model in the 50s, where again, instead of us trying to expect people coming to our large clinics, that we'll get out into the neighborhoods more. You know, just little pop up, you know, come to the end of the street, like mothers brought their children out of the house to the end of the street to get polio vaccinated in the 50s. So So some of that will be going on, and we're very appreciative of our equity task force that is helping us with that outreach. And our link here is that Charmaine also sits on that equity task force. So thanks, Charmaine. Our Vivitrol program currently, this is one I haven't updated you on about. We have 45 current clients, which is up. We have, in January, it was about half that. So we have given 31 injections over the last month and a half. We have 5 new clients right now. 2 are from the jail release program, where they receive a Vivitrol injection on the day that they are released. So we are seeing an uptake of clients from the jail release program, and that is occurring out of our wellness center on 63rd. So it's certainly, that's a much better location right down the street from PSG. So we're really excited about that, and to give you a tour out there as soon as we can open that back up. Our Narcan grant is due to sunset at the end of August. We are applying for other grants to be able to keep the substance abuse prevention programs alive in the health department. So fingers crossed there. We have given out 213 kits to the community since the beginning of the year. We are planning a large media campaign that you will see all over Kenosha County within the next month or so. And there's lots of work going on with relationships with manufacturing sector so that we can train employees right there on their job, work with the sheriff's department, and we're still holding virtual Narcan trainings. People come to the job center, we give them Narcan. So that is still occurring up to and even beyond the end of that grant at the end of August there. So just wanted to give you some of that non-COVID related updates with the health department. And before I move on, and I'm sorry with it being 12:55, we have Roger Prez, who is our newest Board of Health member that just got approved by the county board last week. So Roger, I didn't know if you'd want to say hello and introduce yourself, and thank you for being on your first meeting today. And you're muted. Oop, I think you're still muted.
All right. Can you
there
hear
you
me?
Are.
Now?
Yep.
Excellent. Okay. Well, yeah, this is Roger Perez, and I've been the community spokesperson or community advocate, and I've been enjoying all my life here in Kenosha pretty much since I came over when I was 17 years old. And you know, I just don't get tired of you know, joining organizations just like yourselves today, and so that we can continue providing assistance and help to the community. I am very happy, very pleased that Bordy Fredrickson invited me to join this group, and I know Julia Robinson. She was a part of a couple of events that I created back in the probably early 2000s, and she was very helpful with me so that we can continue helping the community. But yeah, I am very happy, very pleased, and whatever I can do to help, I'm here to do my 100%. I'm not just going to limit myself to see if I can do it or not. No, nothing like that. I wanted to be in full force with you guys.
Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're very excited to have you here. And Roger brings a passion for physical fitness and nutrition and all things health there as well too, and a vital part of the community. So that's a good connection and link there. So thank you.
You're welcome.
And Dr. Gerlach, with that, I am all done unless you have questions.
Anyone have any other questions or comments? All right, can we have a
move to adjourn?
We have a second?
Second.
All right, thanks everybody for sticking around.
Thank you.
Welcome, Roger.
Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome, Roger. Thank you.
Good to hear from you. Yes.